I'm a fan of double acts, whether it's comedy double acts like Morecambe and Wise or Laurel and Hardy, or whether it's superheroes like Batman and Robin. And what fascinates me, I suppose, is the role of either the straight man or the sidekick. And in the case of Batman and Robin, I think Robin has a really interesting view. He gets to see Batman in a way that probably nobody else does. And today's guest is a guy called Brendan McGurr. He's Dave Courtney's right-hand man, his sidekick, his partner in crime. And they've been friends for over 20 years. And he certainly has a fascinating view of the world and an understanding of Dave Courtney that I think it's fair to say nobody else has. They met 20-odd years ago. And when I first met Brendan, he told me that he's a coward, which is a really weird thing and slightly unexpected, actually, for someone who's been sort of in or around the crime world. And obviously Dave's retired now and Brendan's retired from anything, but a coward, it seemed like a strange thing, but it's actually a very sensible move on his part. By that, what he means is he doesn't like to fight anybody. And his attitude was, well, it's a very practical thing to let everybody know in that world, look, I'm not a fighter, in terms of Dave himself. Well, look, Dave, I'll do anything for you, but I won't fight. I'll run away. And so I'm a coward. It's a oversimplification, really, because as you'll find out from the chat that we had, Brendan is far from a coward, but he certainly doesn't claim to be anything. And I know that that's very important to him. He never claims to be a hard man or anything important. He's just a bloke who takes the piss and likes to have a laugh, and that's it. And he happens to be Dave Courtney's best mate. So I hope you enjoy this one. You can hear me at various points going, wow, as he's telling me stories, wow. And there's received wisdom that in podcasting, you shouldn't have irritating verbal tics. But do you know, I enjoyed this one so much that I just wanted to leave them in. It's entirely authentic. I just enjoyed his company, and I hope that you enjoy listening to the stories because they're great. And for a man who's allegedly a coward, well, you'll see what I mean. It's incredible, really, what he's been through and what he's got up to over the years. So this is Brendan, and I really hope you enjoy it as much as I did.
No, like a couple of years ago when people were going into garages and filling up cars full of petrol and then driving off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but those putting drums in the back seats of the cars and filling them up.
All right.
So the geezer went, we need someone to do a story for the Sun and all that. I went, yeah, I'll do that for you. So I had this car, which we had no tax or insurance on, but we'd been sneaking about in it, yeah. So how unlucky am I? I've got a 40-gallon drum here off a mate of mine, put a blanket over it, and all I had to do was drive into the garage, put like tenners worth in the drum so as they could photograph me doing it, and then I was going to pay for it anyway. They'd give me the money to pay for it. Yeah, so I weren't even doing a real drive off. I was just doing it for the camera, yeah. As I drive in there, there's a police car in the fucking thing. And I went, oh, I don't believe it. Right? And his fucking alarm went, the AMPR went, no tax, no insurance. And I see him, like, he was filling up with petrol and looking at me, and I thought, right, I'm just driving out. So I drove out, he threw the thing in the thing, got in, put the lights on, come out of me. I'm going through Charlton now, I've been in this estate. Yeah, I'm hiding in this estate, and the next thing, the car just casually drove up into the estate. I was parked there and I was sitting there and I went, all right.
Wow.
He went, can I ask you what you're doing? I went, just sitting here and catching in. He went, no tax, no insurance. I went, I'm walking home, aren't I? And there was a big 40-gallon drum on the back seat. And he's looking at it going, what were you doing? I went, nothing. Just nothing, mate. Wow. So I rung Dave up and I went, right, I've got some good news, Dave. Yeah, I've got £200 for doing the story. And the bad news is we ain't got a car.
Wow. That's amazing.
So, yeah, that was another sort of... That, like, it's a good and bad day all in one,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the next day I'm looking at myself in the sun with a fucking thing on doing the fill-up. Fuck that right up, yeah.
Brilliant. You couldn't write that, you see.
All good intentions.
You couldn't actually, yeah, you couldn't write that for a film, could you?
No.
If you wrote that as a script.
And this, I've got hundreds of them. Hundreds. At least, like, we have one of them a month. at least, maybe two. And if you add that over 20 years, that's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But it's some of the people don't consider, maybe, you know, things like that. Go, you know, just things going wrong. Because yeah. There is something funny about
listen,
things.
We don't have things go right.
Yeah. But that is funny, because you wouldn't expect that necessarily.
It could only happen to you. If it can happen, it will happen to me. Yeah. Without a doubt.
But yeah, there must be a lot of things that don't go according to plan, and that's kind of one element that interests me.
Yeah, well, that is the main element that comes to mind with me.
It's how they get out of it, though. That's the
yeah. It's like them things always happen, but that's when you've got to think on your feet to get out of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And keep everyone happy so that you don't come back and bite you.
I remember when they was like, these geezers was going to shoot me and all that. And I was really keen on it.
I don't know why.
Right. And
you have to annoy people to.
I know. I had annoyed them. Like with David gone off to Monte Carlo, and the only person I could get out of was me. You know what I mean? And I went after a broken nose and all my face, and I was all battered and all that. And I went, I'm pretty convinced they are going to kill me here, Dave. He went, no. He went, listen, you should see it out here when I'm in an helicopter at the minute flying over Monaco. I went. So fucking pleased for you, right? If you could possibly fucking get back home, right? Because I think they are going to kill me. Then, no, trust me. So the geezer kept ringing me up going, we're coming around to kill you tonight. I was going, oh, really? Right, so it went on for a bit and I didn't stay at home. I kept staying at different places and all that. And it was you know, putting me under a bit of stress, really. And, anyway, luckily enough, and it was nothing, I swear to God, nothing to do with us, right? Gospel, nothing to do with us. The geezer who was like going to kill me, he'd upset so many people that someone shot him in the head 3 times in a club called The End. How about that?
So that's how you got out of it?
And that was how I went, when I heard it, I went...
That's amazing.
Right, so, and then I rung up the geezer who he sent, the geezer that sent him to kill me. Yeah. I got a little bit overconfident then. I rung him up and went, how confident do you feel now, wanker? I put the phone down. Which, with hindsight, wasn't the greatest thing to do, because he went, yeah, God, you're fucking that. And then he realised what had happened to his mate and didn't speak to me after that.
Wow. That's perfect.
And then they kept ringing me up going, you're dead. You've got 24 hours, yeah. This geezer rang me out and says, you've got 24 hours and you're dead, yeah. So I was bored one night. Me and Dave was out raving. We was up our heads and all that. I rang him about 3 o'clock in the morning, about 3 months later. I went, is your watch stopped? He went, what? I went, well, you said I was going to be dead 3 months ago and I'm out fucking having it dodge. And I said, now I've spent a load of money which I ain't got. Put a boat down.
Then you wonder why people get a little bit paid.
Yeah, I was going to say. For an alleged coward, you're quite brave.
Yes,
I mean,
that's on the phone. Didn't anticipate bumping into
it. Wow. That's amazing.
Well, that was funny times, that was. But yeah, there was a couple of times there, like, you know. Another time when I got covered in petrol and tied up, that was a bad day as well.
Well,
really bad day that.
What? How do you feel after that? Does you're not in a state of shock?
Well, I felt like they should ban petrol in general.
You couldn't get rid of the smell for weeks.
Do you know what I mean? I was like, they really should stop selling petrol to people with cans. Unless it goes in the car, you can't have it.
Well, that seems quite extreme, though. I mean, why did they not sort of set you alight or whatever? Was it a threat?
No, the only reason they didn't set us alight was they had every intention of setting us on fire, right? And the bloke who was working for me, I had an office, yeah? And this bloke was dead straight working in my office, yeah? And I've come back to the office one night about 5 o'clock to pick up some paperwork, and I thought, fucking hell, has he gone home and left all the lights on there? And I went in and I thought, he's fucked off. And then this geezer jumped out of like a scarf over his face and went, ugh. And I went, I thought it was my mate, Mickey Taylor. So I went, oh, Michael, I ain't got time for this bollocks. Pushed him out of the way and stopped fucking about. And then he went, click. And I went, Michael? You're not Michael, are you? okay? So like, smacked me around with the edge of the gun, got me on the floor, finds me on the cable tie, yeah. And then kept like putting his boot on my head, and I was sort of looking up at him in that affectionate way, you know, like, really? So my two mates were sitting in the car, and I thought, ah, oh, that's all right, the cavalry will be in a minute. So anyway, like, after 10 minutes, one of them walks in, and the same thing happens to him. They jump in, get him on the floor. And I'm looking at him going, you done well, haven't you? Wow. So, like, there's still one of us left outside, and he's come in, they jumped him, got him on the floor. And these are two crackheads, these geezers as well, nutty crackheads. Yeah, and then I've looked up, and I see the geezer who worked for me, sitting in a chair all tied, with a gag and a mask, like, bound with tape. And I'm going, sorry about this, Derek. Awfully sorry, you can have the day off tomorrow. So, as the geezer's tipping the petrol over us, as they got to me, they run out of petrol. And I had a Schult, an American Schult fireman's jacket on, yeah, which I got in New York, and it was genuinely fire resistant, yeah. It's what the American firemen use, yeah. So as he's got in, he's just tipped in. I could just smell the petrol on my shoulder, but it's run out. And I'm looking at my man, I went, I had a touch, and I'm, he's covered in it, you know. So, and I went to the geezer and went, is that leaded or unleaded?
No.
Because like, I thought, like, if you can make them laugh or something, just distract them, you know what I mean? And this geezer just sort of stood on my head firmly. And then, like, when you're all going to fucking burn, yeah? And this girl, who I knew from school, who used to come and see me, like, with her kids, just happened to be passing, walked in, went, oh, right, I see that. Seen all the things, started screaming and all that. Her kids started screaming, and they just run off. The geezer just run.
Wow.
And that's what saved us, do you know what I mean? But like, that was, I considered a bad day, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can imagine it would be.
Derek, on the other hand, do you know what I mean? I did have to give him the rest of the week off.
Wow.
And he weren't ever keen on overtime.
I'll bet you
no, he was. Wow.
But the geezer, one of the geezers that done it, he was found hanging like about 6 months later. Like, that's gospel too. He was found hanging. And someone rung me up to tell me, because I found out who it was. So when they rung up, I said, well, that's a choker, isn't it?
Oh, come on.
That's what I said to the geezer on the phone. I went, no. I said, what a choker. I said, is he really? I've had that. I've had geezers, like, you know, tie me up and take me away. I've had geezers fucking try to stab me in bed when I was asleep on Christmas morning and slashed all my tendons in my toe, dressed as Santa Claus. Do you know what I mean?
They were dressed as Santa Claus.
He was dressed as Santa Claus, this geezer, yeah. And he come into my house at 4 o'clock in the morning on Christmas morning, went to stab me, and I switched the light on, and I went, I knew him, I went, Kenny, what are you doing? And he went like that, I put my foot up, managed to hit him on the chin, his false teeth come out, but he slashed my foot and cut two of my toes nearly come off, and then he ran off, do you know what I mean?
Happy Christmas.
Yeah, I come round here Christmas morning, Dave's whizzing, I went, have a look at that. How bad is that, Dave? What you, and he went, I've just read Andy McNab's book. He went, super glue will fix that. Yeah, like, that might well have happened if it was just a nick. Yeah, but my tendons were cut. So like, by the time he super glued it, yeah, which I'm there worrying, am I going to end up in hospital with his hand stuck to my foot, you know, in the ambulance? And like, am I going to be sitting there looking at him going, this wasn't a good idea, was it? But no, he didn't get his hand stuck to my foot, yeah. But after about 20 minutes of him putting a load of glue over my toes, I was going, fucking you can't. So he went, no, I'll tell you what, you might better have gone to the hospital. I went, thanks a lot, that's been a great help. And I had to drive up there, and I had a clutch, a toe gun with a clutch, yeah, and all these toes was hanging off. I had a towel round them, and I was having to change gear like that. No, not that he drove me there or nothing. He just went, oh, no, you better go to the hospital. I went, thanks. So I fucked off up the hospital, yeah, and ended up on Christmas night. I didn't get I was in the hospital from 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. They see me at 12 o'clock midday, and then went, oh, I said, I stood on a glass. That's what I told them. And they went, well, we can't find any glass in here. He said, oh, your tendons are all cut as well. He said, it's like a slash wound. I went, no, I stood on a glass. So he went, okay, well, we'll put you up for operating. Yeah, so like, but we can't put you in a room yet. We're waiting for a porter to come down and take you up to a bed. And I went, I'll fucking walk up there, mate. He went, no, no, it's got to be a porter for insurance. You've got to be taken up there. So I'm now sitting in the corridor all Christmas Day of this hospital with a towel around my foot and ice sitting there going, this is bollocks. Right? My other mates turned up and went, give us your shogun, I've got to go and see Sam Bird. He's took the car, right? Fucked off, yeah? So when I'm now going for my theatre to get it all done, as I'm on the trolley on the way down there, they've had a big alarm go off, and the anaesthetist that was going to be working on me, he's had to go to an emergency cardiac arrest. Right, so they went, oh. I said, I'm fucking starving. I ain't had no Christmas dinner. I'm proper starving here, right? And they went, I've been nil by mouth all day. So they went, well, we can't operate on you now because the anaesthetist. And I went, you're joking. They went, we can't let you eat anything in case he comes back. And I went, oh. They went, the only other thing, if you're prepared to, we can give you an injection in your foot which will numb it and we can do it that way. But they have to inject into the bone, you know. Oh, when it's open like that, yeah. But I didn't know how painful that was going to be. So I went, yeah, well, just get it done. I'm fucking desperate for a mince pie, you know what I mean? So I went, okay. So they took me down there. And while I'm on this bed, I thought, why are they putting all straps on me like that? What's that? And the next thing the case went, you're going to feel a little bit of pain here, but let us know if you can feel anything after we've done it. Yeah? And I'm going, what? And then he went, whoa!
Wow.
Right. And they numbed all my foot up. And I was in there Christmas Day, yeah, Boxing Day. And I signed myself out. They gave me a load of antibiotics, yeah. Stitched me up. I was meant to stay in there for 3 days. But as soon as I got stitched up and all that, the very next day, Boxing Day, there was such a good do on at ministry and all that. I went, listen, I can't stay in here, you know. I've got to get out. So I got out, took my antibiotics, and threw them away and bought a load of bees.
Wow.
And just went out raving until the new year.
Did they help your foot?
Yeah, it did actually. Yeah, well, I felt all right. I didn't feel nothing.
Wow, God. That's amazing.
But yeah, it learns to make you be humorous, living, you know, them stories, isn't it? You know what I mean? Living like that at the time, you had to have humour was your biggest strength.
Yeah.
Humour stopped you being scared. It stopped you worrying. Do you know what I mean? If you was fan saying funny. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And I think humour is the biggest weapon of anyone's arsenal. Because if you can make a woman laugh, she'll like you.
Yeah.
If you can make someone who wants to hurt you laugh, it's harder for them to hurt you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If you make people who, even if they hate you, if they are funny, they go, it's funny, you know what I mean? It can actually get you out of a lot of trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And having a sense of humour at yourself, where other people, you make it easy for them to laugh at you, makes life so much easier in all, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely.
But I've just I think I'm blessed with the fact that people have a natural comic timing. It's not something that you can buy. It's not something that someone can teach you. Comic timing, you can't teach it to anyone. It's got to be in there, you've got to feel it, and you've got to know when that moment is.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I had that from a child. I could make people laugh as a way through, do you know what I mean? But I never see myself as an on-stage comedian, but in the group of people I was always around, I was the geezer that I always thought was quite funny.
Yeah, 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 definitely. I could see that.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I still think it's a big strength even today. But comic timing, I watch other people like David Jason, Ronnie Barker, Ronnie Corbett, when they do all their stuff, their timing is priceless.
Yeah.
Any true comedy person, it's the timing of the deliverance of the punchline is the actual key to the whole thing.
Thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. I appreciate all the support so far. I've had some great feedback and some great comments. If you could leave a comment on iTunes and a review, that would be lovely. That would mean a lot to me. All I'm trying to do is get these stories out there. I hope that you find them as fascinating as I do. I'm on all the podcast platforms now as well, so iTunes and Spotify and obviously Podbean as well. So you can find me. Thanks again, and I very much look forward to the next episode. Bye for now.